Okay, this is Michael Welch for CKUW, and right now I'm joined at the studio by two guests. They are not Dr. John Gerard and Kona Cochran, as initially announced. Maybe I'll just have them introduce themselves, but we're going to be talking for the duration of the hour on the concerns about the child welfare system here in Manitoba, so maybe I can let my guests start off.
What's up, Michael? Michael Champagne over here, Michael too. Happy and excited to be here today. North End activist, represent.
Right on. And I'm not a Michael, so this is the odd one. Don Woodstock. Just an activist, just pushing my nose out there whenever I can, and just to talk about these issues, which is important to us all.
Yeah, not just an activist.
I was going to say that, you know.
Yes,
you're getting that sort of brainwashing that somehow activism is something kind of unseemly.
Yeah.
But so we've seen the ongoing Phoenix Sinclair inquiry. There was the conclusion of the hearings in the over a little over a week ago now, and that inquiry is coming to a price tag of about $9 million. People who were listening to the show last week might have heard some of the audio I recorded with Kim Edwards, who has started a hunger strike on May 22nd, trying to draw attention to the concerns around child welfare in Manitoba. She was a former foster mother for Phoenix Sinclair, and is obviously very visibly concerned with the issue. She claimed that the Phoenix Sinclair inquiry simply just doesn't go far enough in looking at some of the casualties of that system. Literally, pointed to the fact that since 2006, the number of kids in care, Aboriginal children, has just exploded. And now there are more kids in care today than were at the height of the residential school situation.
Yes.
And so this, as far as I know, she's still on that hunger strike in a little grove of trees just north of the parking lot of the Manitoba legislature. Maybe I should get each of you to talk about your particular interest, your particular angle, your particular the way in which you maybe you uniquely positioned to address this issue. Michael, maybe we should start with you.
Sure. I approach this issue as a product of the child welfare system. I'm 26 years old, and when I was born, I'm originally from Shamattawa, and when I was born, I was put into the child welfare system, and luckily for me, eventually ended up being adopted, but not without having some of those negative experiences that many kids, most kids that go through the child welfare system have to experience. There is no reason for a two-year-old child, and I'm speaking from my life experience here, there is no reason for a two-year-old child to be picked up for a visit and to have two black eyes. There is absolutely no reason for these things to be real. There is no two black eyes on a two-year-old child. This is my lived experience in the child welfare system. And for, you know, opportunities like the Phoenix Sinclair inquiry to shine a light on the type of abuse and neglect, institutional neglect that is going on such a consistent basis, I think is absolutely imperative. And today, I am very active in the north end of Winnipeg and within the Aboriginal community to the best of my abilities, trying to advocate on behalf of creating opportunities for young people and empowering our children to break the systems. And I know that that's very aggressive wording, but I can't help it. I encourage young people to break the systems that are consistently grandiose failures to protecting our young people. The child welfare system in the North End neighborhood that I live in, I see on a regular basis the way that they treat parents trying to take care of their kids, and then they march in foster families, and they sprinkle and rain down support upon these foster families so that they can take care of the kids. Meanwhile, there is a willing and a distraught and now broken family that is there without their heartbeat, without their children, without their hope for the future. And our government wonders why our families are debilitated when they are consistently and institutionalizing the process of removing the heartbeat and the life and the hope from our families. And so I think just my perspective on the child welfare issue is one of experience and utter and complete sadness for the fact that there are kids that don't have the things that they need, that aren't being protected right now. So I have committed myself in my entire adult life, with or without payment, to raise awareness, to lead by example, and to challenge other young people. Because you don't have to be university educated, in some kind of position of authority to make change. Mm-hmm. There's a young man in the inner city of Winnipeg named Ramondo who is going around right now advocating for a 24-hour space for young people, and he has a plethora of support from his peers who believe that a space is needed in our inner city where our young people can escape from gangs, escape from family violence, and have a safe place to be supported for their future education goals, their future employment goals, 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. And that petition is reaching 700 signatures in just over 7 days. So I come at this issue as somebody who has lived through the child welfare system, who has been able to, despite the odds of 80% of the kids going into child welfare not graduating, I was able to graduate from high school, and as somebody who as an adult has committed my life to working with these kids directly to empower them so that they know you don't need to be in some position, some type of predetermined position to make change. If we all work together and we all raise our voices and we all have that same message, we can actually influence the system from our position as you know, recipients of these services.
Yes. And it's also important to point out that you find that pattern of kids in care increasingly being involved with the criminal justice system, either as perpetrators or as victims.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's like out of proportion with the regular children. Yes. Don Woodstock, what animates your involvement?
The whole thing is that every one of us have the ability to care, and too many of us in society see this situation as their child or them, or it's not my own. 2007, there was a demonstration on the ledge, and one girl in all of the daycare, which is Diane Hill from Rainbow Daycare Nursery, stood with me, minus 40 weather. And they all criticized it and says that I was using for whatever reason. The bottom line is,
What exactly was the demonstration?
The demonstration was to bring awareness to the plight of what is happening with child care and the lack and the needs. Because my own personal experience, I don't speak French. And my two children, they are both fluent in French and English. Because from an early age, we put them into Pressassant. Now, between 0 to 6 years is when the child brain develops. That is something everybody understands and knows. Even the educated ones among us understands that. Yet still, between 0 to 6, there's no emphasis on the society to make sure that we have or give our children the very best we can give them. Every single child can have 3-4 different languages and stimulate their brain towards university instead of stimulating their brain towards gangs and violence and other stuff. If we can find $300 million and put into a bomber stadium that clearly don't work and infrastructure wasn't there for it, there's a good chance that we can find $80, $90, $100 million and solve this problem. And how do we solve this problem? Is we look at the prevention. The own government did a study that says for every dollar that they put into childcare, they save $7 in the penal system. Yet our justice minister and our current government, what they have done, they have put billions of dollars into building prisons. Why? It's the why that we need to address. My heart goes out to the people who are involved in the system, and I'm looking at it from the outside in, yes, because my son and daughter, thank God, I hope as long as I'm alive, I'll make sure they don't end up in the child welfare system. But there are others who they are literally, their life is going to be plotted for them through the system. How do we stop that? we who are not involved need to hear the message that if we take care of the ones that is not us, we are literally taking care of ourselves, because then the government will have more money to put into other infrastructure that is not related to child welfare system. The government have created this big, giant mess, which is only there to suit themselves, which is to employ people, keep the system eating out of their hands, begging for every tax dollar they can get. The funding operation needs to go on. And so as a result of that, there's a cycle. So the Phoenix Sinclair of this world, there are thousands of others. And for us to spend $9 million to find out something that we knew already, shame on us all for allow it to even get to that point. But let's look forward. Today onward, all I've asked the media to do, and thanks to you, Michael, for stepping forward, and thanks to that dear girl who is putting the hunger strike, we all need to support her, whether we can go there for a day and let she take a break, or we go there for a month. If we have enough people on the steps of the ledge for 6, 8, 9 months, a year, there is no way the provincial government would not step in and do something, because it becomes an embarrassment to them.
Mm-hmm. And Don, actually, you mentioned something that I think is also really important. You referenced, the funding models for how exactly are these services even, how do they determine how much resources get allocated to which services? And it's actually unfortunate. In my previous employment as a child and youth care worker, and as a community youth worker, there was a lot of documentation, a lot of reporting that was required for any of the kids that were involved in CFS, and this immense amount of reporting, it's interesting, is necessary, because CFS receives its money based on the amount of kids that are in care at a certain point in the year.
So there's an incentive.
There's an incentive for social workers to apprehend our children. So imagine if. Now.
Free market.
Now. Free market. Oh my goodness. On our kids' lives.
Yes.
So okay, now listeners, imagine this. Imagine a world where instead of awarding people for apprehending children, we were awarding them for preventing kids from being apprehended. Holy crap. Holy man.
That's what I'm talking about.
Imagine if we were able to figure out some type of a documentation system, some type of and I'm certain if they have had the foresight to be able to do, providing this social service saves us $7 in the justice system. If they have the foresight and the ability to create a system or a measurement tool that determines how much money we're saving by stopping kids from going to jail, let's use that same or a similar style of measurement tool to create an evaluation system that gives us concrete and hard proof that when we intervene with families, when we provide them the services that they need before they are in crisis mode, before there is abuse happening in the home, before the addictions are out of control, then imagine how many millions of dollars we will be able to save in this bloated bureaucracy that awards apprehension of our kids.
Yeah, but then you're also talking about the possibility, Michael, of the same government that put this in place. What do they do now? Because they're going to be out of office. So they have to find a job in the civil servant, maybe pushing broom? Like, seriously. So that's where the fight comes. Because our fight is not with the people here at this table and others that may be listening. Our fight is the so-called executive directors who get their jobs not because they're even qualified, but because they're a good old soldier to the NDP government or the Conservative or the whatever. Yeah. Okay?
Don,
that's
just,
where the
I just want to say, I did invite a representative of the government, the Family Services Minister, to join this discussion. Mm-hmm. Have not yet received a response. But
keep waiting.
And I also I think probably it's in the interest of full disclosure, you're not exactly a partisan.
No, well, I'm taking this from the view that prevention is better than cure, everybody understands that. I'm taking the view that if I, who don't speak French, a 40-year-old grown man, okay, and I can see my two children speak fluent English and French after about 5 or 6 months in Precious, there's a good chance that if we gave our children the best that we could give them between all zero children. To six, yeah, all of them,
but I offer
that opportunity, yeah, to them, there's a good chance that their brain will be stimulated towards education, towards higher learning, towards being a productive member of society.
Resiliency, and I think what you're talking, yeah, about, Don, is resiliency, and that's what these systems are not. They're spitting out broken people. They're not, yep, spitting out resilient or healthy people.
Yep.
And unfortunately, it is a system. The way that these large institutions are operating are spitting out broken people and are unfortunately being operated oftentimes by broken, okay, people.
I know people who have been involved in that system, and they're good people,
mm-hmm,
but it's like you're saying, there's systemic problems, and it kind of harkens to the residential school system, because I think there were a lot of people who were part of that, yes, who had the best of intentions, but it clearly was a failed model. Now, I know that Kim Edwards in particular has been talking about a royal commission, and she's demanding of Stephen Harper, a man not notorious for respecting hunger strikes, yeah, that to call this royal commission to look into the situation. Do you think that's the solution or part of the solution?
For me, I do agree that action needs to happen. I'm also in agreement that Kim and in her issues very much deserves and needs that support. Am I supportive of a royal commission into this issue? I don't know. I don't know that for me, as somebody who sees how much waste happens in so many institutions, I'm not confident that a royal commission, another study to tell us that our kids need help, is where we need to be putting our money. And it breaks my heart to say that, because I very much support Kim in the work that she's doing, and I think she's putting herself on the line for our kids, and it's that kind of sacrifice and commitment. She is not going to give up until something moves. So whether it's a royal commission, whether it's a new funding model, whether it's a different evaluation tool, like something's got to give.
I've only got about 60 seconds
60
left.
60 seconds. Well, my 60 seconds is, Michael is right. We can't spend more money to find out what the problem is. We know what the problem is. Let's not build any more quote-unquote bomber stadium without fixing this problem. Let's not throw any more money at any major project without solving this problem. If the government want to spend $300-400 million doing something else, every single one of us, the ones who voted for them and the ones who don't, need to say stop. We got a bigger problem. Let's take care of our children first, okay?
And we need everybody, all of our listeners, we need all of our friends, all of our neighbors. We all have to be speaking the same message. We can't let it up. We can't let this go away to the sidelines. If we all keep this message at the front, yeah, of everybody's attention,
yeah,
we can collectively push to actually make sure that Phoenix Sinclair's and the tragic circumstances surrounding that never happen
again.
Okay, I think that's something that all of us can agree on for certain.
Yes.
I want to thank our guests, Don Woodstock and Michael Champagne, for joining in this very timely discussion on the state of our child welfare system.
Thank you, Michael.
Also, I want to thank Beverly and Clarence, who talked to me about in our Garden Gab segment. I want to thank our speaker David Barsamian at the Peace and Justice Walklist last Saturday, and I want to thank our co-host David Brigoli for minding the store while we have this conversation.
Yes.
And that's it for our show. Yeah. People of Interest is our weekday morning magazine, heard Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from 8 a.m. till 9 a.m. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns about this or any of our other shows, please feel free to contact us, ckuwnews@rocketmail.com, or leave a voicemail message, 204-786-9782. Check out our blog, ckuwnews.ca, for some of our more provocative pieces and interviews. And as do please stay tuned, because coming up is Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. Have yourselves a great day.